Thank you for taking the time to listen to one of the recent sermons preached at Wilton Baptist Church. It is our desire as a church to strive together in building a faith, family, and future that honors and glorifies our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we can be a help to you in any way, please visit our website at wiltonbaptistchurch.com.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that. 1 Peter chapter 1 is our first passage of many tonight, 1 Peter 1. And if Ryoga and Peter could help me out here, I'd like to have everyone take one of these personal checklists for revival. We're going to go through some of these questions here today. And so, gentlemen, if you would, try to quickly give those out to each person here tonight. Thank you very much. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the picnic is the real highlight in our church, good fellowship. We've actually seen people trust Christ sometime after that. It was their first introduction to Bible Christianity, and even get baptized and join a church. And so the fellowship on that Monday at that picnic can be used for good. And so please pray for that and plan to come out. If you would like to help us, we do need some grill masters. Isn't that a nice name? Grill masters. We need some grill masters if you want to help with that around 11:30 or so. Maybe before that, we'll begin grilling. And so get here early for that if you can help. And we have three grills in the back. And then we need a kitchen leader, someone who can kind of organize the people that are here to help out. So maybe some helpers and a organizer for the kitchen, putting all the drinks out and napkins and plates and stuff like that. So if you want to help with that, please see myself. And did everyone get one of those yellow papers? All right. Gentlemen, you did great. Usually somebody's missed. So way to go. Good job. We have Glenn Petty's here tonight, and be praying for him and his family. And I appreciate him and his wife. She passed away just about 3 days ago. And Pat would ask to come to church often. He was telling me that. And so God bless you, Glenn. It's great to see you tonight. Be sure to encourage him this evening. Well, when I was young, I grew up in Appalachia, and we even lived in West Virginia for a while. There's a lot of coal miners. And remember those old records? Those old records? Remember record players? You know, that's kind of coming back. They call them vinyls now. You can get something like, it's called a vinyl today. I don't know if there would be anything worth listening to on a vinyl today, but they're making those. Then there were those 8-track tapes. Remember those as well? I mean, that was really good stuff. But we had a player. It was bigger than this pulpit. It played the records, and it played those 8-track tapes. And one of the songs on the record, this is really old, one of the songs that was sung by a man named Tennessee Ernie Ford. Anyone remember him? Some of you are waving at me like, oh, yeah, I remember him. He would sing a lot of folk songs and maybe Appalachian ones. And this particular song I remember that he would sing was about a coal mining town. A coal mining town. He called it 16 Tons. And I don't know if he wrote the song or if it was original with him, but like a lot of folk songs, it would describe some of the troubles and pains and successes and things such as that. The words of the song would be true maybe in a coal mining town where the general store, where the library, where the school, everything was owned by the coal mine. Also would be true in lumberjack towns where the timber companies would own everything. And that would be true in a lot of Appalachian hollows, a lot of little towns were like that. And he would snap his fingers in this song, really loud like this. Some of you will recognize this probably. And he had this kind of really great voice. I enjoyed it as a young person. 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. And he said it like this. I owe my soul to the company store. 16 tons, what do you get? All I have is debt to the company store. A lot of people felt that way. A lot of people felt that way. I have a message here tonight. We'll call it 16 tons because there's 16 questions. And as you look at these questions, they could be weights. It could be like a ton of coal in your life. Or you could give these things to Christ and it not weigh anything. These are thought-provoking questions to consider. Instead of carrying the weight of sin around, Jesus already carried the weight and he paid for it all at the cross. So look, and we'll be turning to a lot of these passages, a very personal message for you to self-examine yourself. Look in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Folks, we don't owe our soul to anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the workplace, not the bank, not the company store. You can see how people get carried down or burdened carrying the weight of their sin, but Jesus took care of all of it and he purchased us, he redeemed us at the cross. Let's look at another passage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. I actually think there's another verse I was looking for there. What know ye not that you are bought with a price? Is chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You know what a lot of people are taught today is that do what you want because, you know, it's your body, it's yourself, it's your own life. But for the Christian, it's different. It's God's life. We belong to him. Verse 20, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. So let's ask and answer these questions. They could be a weight in your life. And I encourage you, let these weights go. Give them to the Lord and let him carry any burden that you have, any weight of sin that you may have in your life. We'll take some moments to pray in between several of these verses that we'll be studying here tonight. I may call on some men to stand and pray, and let's pray for revival. As we look at these verses, let's seek revival. As we answer these questions, let's ask the Lord to do a great work in our hearts and in our lives. You can write in the answers if you want. You can talk about these questions back at home. But let's consider them right now in this message. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Father, we thank you that as Christians, we are bought with a price. We praise you for the sacrifice and this payment that was made. And some of us may be carrying sin and weight, maybe burdens around that you paid for. Lord, we pray that you would help us know that we don't owe anyone else our lives, but we owe you our lives. We thank you that you purchased us on the cross. Give us understanding, and as we self-examine, Lord, let us have humble hearts to respond to your Spirit and to your word. Bless each listener now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 is our first question and answer that we'll be looking at. And you can answer this in your heart. Am I in fellowship with God? Am I in fellowship with the Lord? Now, as Paul is writing to these Corinthian believers, they had some different struggles and problems in their church, and he's giving them some solutions and Bible answers for it. And right there in verse 9, he describes our God by saying, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The fellowship of his Son. You think about how you are related to God through Jesus. You are born into God's family at the moment of salvation. Thank the Lord for that. There's relationship there. But then beyond relationship is my daily walk, my fellowship with my God. What's your fellowship like with the Lord? Are you talking to Him in prayer like you would communicate with somebody in real life? Well, in this real spiritual life, and it's real life as well, do you talk to God in prayer? Do you read the Bible? Do you seek the Spirit of God in decisions? And Lord, what would you have for me to do? Am I in fellowship with the Lord? We could start with this question, then ask this. Have you trusted Christ? Have you been born again? Have your sins been forgiven? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you a saved person? Amen. John's mother is saved. She's testifying of that right now. Have you trusted the Lord? Am I in fellowship then with God? Answer that in your heart and life. Number two, do I have daily devotions? Now, we can get very busy and rush here and rush there and run over here and get involved in this and that. And I got to get to work, or I got to get the kids to school or to the game or whatever the case is. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I am currently discipling two couples separately, going through discipleship. And Natalie's helping me with one of the couples, and they're meeting with us weekly. And then just started with another family just this last week. And I told them next Thursday, but they thought it was this Thursday. And I showed up to say hi to the Bible Institute and to welcome all the new students. And the Bible Institute started out really great, and we're blessed with that. But I noticed they were here, and I said, hey, I'm glad you're here for the Bible study, right? Let's do it. So we shared some time. They were eager. I mean, they wanted to know more about God. And I wasn't going to say, come back next week. Let's do it right now. Let's go through these scriptures. So we're doing some discipleship with several people. Maybe you are helping another believer in discipleship as well. One of the basic things that we teach those in our discipleship program is daily Bible reading. It could be two verses a day. It could be two chapters, five chapters. It could be a little bit from the Old Testament, a little bit from the New Testament. We have several things that we offer. A lot of what we're doing now is topical, so read these verses about the Bible. And every day there's several more that are listed just to get them started in it. Are you doing daily devotions? Well, I've been saved, 15 years, 20 years. I've read the Bible through several times. It's not the question, have you read it today? Have you read a little bit? You're not going to read the whole thing today, but are you going to read some of the Bible each day? That's a worthy and a valid question. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you studying the Bible? Now, our Bible studies, our preaching services, our Sunday schools, it's a Bible study, the ladies' Bible study, the men's Bible study, these are all terrific ways to study the Bible, but are you studying the Bible yourself and in your Bible reading? Are you doing that? I encourage you to start if you haven't. We have in our bookstore several good Bible study guides that maybe you say, well, I'm interested in the book of Philippians, and there's a Bible study guide to help you as you study it. And maybe you like the book of Romans. I want to know more about Romans. There's a Bible study guide. There's one about Ecclesiastes. Those are in the bookstore. Those are tools. And you could study the Bible and read the Bible as a family. We do that. And as a husband and wife, we do that. And personally read the Bible yourself as well. So study to show thyself approved unto God. How am I going to be a workman who knows what to do, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? We need to rightly read it and correctly understand it. How can I be a workman if I don't read the Bible? I can go through the motions, but how can I do what God has for me to do or God's will if I don't know what God says in the word? Ask yourself, do I have daily devotions? Number three, third question. What is the condition of my prayer life? Turn left in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, towards the front there, and just three words in verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Maybe you'll set aside some time when you get up each day. Maybe you'll set aside a specific time at lunchtime at work. Maybe at the end of the day, you have a specific time. Maybe you go for a walk, and during that walk in the morning, you're praying and you're talking to the Lord. Maybe you have a long commute and you're going to drive and be praying. Pray without ceasing. What's the condition of your prayer life? Have you taken time to meet with the Lord? And by the way, it's great to turn the cell phone off and close the computer and focus on the Lord for a little bit. That Bible reading and that prayer. Next in, look in Hebrews 12. The fourth question to ask. Hebrews 12, we'll look at verse 15. Several years ago, Evangelist Harper, Richard Harper, he preaches here every couple years or so. He gave me this list of questions, and this is one way that he prepares for revival meetings, is to ask these questions. Look at chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Well, bitterness, that's my own sin. I mean, that's my own problem. Well, it will hurt you, but it says many other people are affected as well. Many are defiled. There are some sins in our life, and left unchecked or left unconfessed, they don't just affect us, they affect other people. It's foolish in our pride to think that it would be different than that. And so this is very clear. There's a root of bitterness. You need to get that root out. Yesterday in our men's Bible study, our leadership Bible study, Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock, last Saturday of the month, we had several men show up, and our study was about taking a bite out of bitterness. And we looked at several verses, many examples, and the men gave testimony to different examples in their life. It was a productive time. Bitterness, defined by the biblical counseling book, this is one on my shelf that I refer to often. This is a good definition, very thorough definition. Here's what bitterness is: an attitude of extended and intense anger and hostility. It is often accompanied by resentment and a desire to get even. It is a result of not forgiving an offender and letting the hurt and anger grow until the pain and resentment sour the person's view of life. Bill Cole was there. He gave a testimony. He said he deals with roots a lot, being in the plumbing business that he's in. And he said a lot of times homeowners will cut down trees, but they don't pull out the roots. And 3 years later, several years later even, the roots are still growing. They're still clogging up the drains, and they're still doing damage to the house and things like that. That's the picture given here. To pull out the root of bitterness, it may be under the surface. It could be under the surface. And you may not even know that it's there. But it can be very evident. Here's some identifiable characteristics of bitterness. You may want to write these down. We discussed these yesterday with the men, and I believe it's good to consider as we're looking at this verse. Identifiable characteristics of bitterness. If these things are in your life, it could be that you're bitter about something or someone. It could be that you're bitter about maybe your upbringing or a spouse. Could be you're bitter about a child or a decision or a workplace. There's a lot of different areas. And sometimes you're bitter at this person, but you take it out on the other person. I mean, it's really strange how our minds work whenever that root of bitterness is there. Here are some characteristics. Resentment. Do I have any resentment in my life? How about obsessive thoughts of revenge? I know how I'm going to get back at them. There's a root of bitterness there. And he's pulled all the way out. Sarcasm. Sarcasm is a form of an identifiable characteristic of bitterness. A sarcastic remark, you know, at the end of a statement or something. A critical or unkind comments. Critical or unkind comments. Self-righteousness. That's another identifiable characteristic. You know, I'm just so much better than they are. And trying to really point out the differences. There's a bitterness problem with that. Conflicts with others. Trying to be in a fight. You know, some people do not seem happy unless they're fighting someone. They're not happy. There's a bitterness problem that they have to deal with. Hostility. Aggressiveness in relationships. Then the last identifiable characteristic would be controlling behavior. Just trying to control the situation, trying to control the people, trying to manipulate those around them. These are identifiable characteristics of bitterness. Do I have or do I harbor any bitterness? If you do, confess that to God. Just let go of the pride and say, God, forgive me. I don't want to be bitter. Identify the source of the bitterness and get that right with Him. Next question goes right along with this idea of confession. Notice in Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, 18. Here's our fifth question. Do I have any unconfessed sin in my life? Do I have any unconfessed sin in my life? Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'm going to hold on to this sin. I'm going to regard it. I'm going to prefer it. I'm going to maintain it. I'll cover it up. I'll justify it. I'll defend this sin. I will regard it in my heart. Then the Lord will not hear. Do I have any unconfessed sin in my life? What do you think? These are five pointed and very challenging questions just right off the start. We're going to pause for just a moment and ask God for revival. And you think about these questions and these verses that we've looked at. Would you join me in prayer? I'll lead us in prayer this first time here. Father, we have already been challenged as we consider these five questions and these incredible Bible truths. And Lord, we do seek revival, a rekindling of our love for You. If there's any idols, if there's any sin, Lord, let those things be confessed. Continue to burden and convict and challenge us. And as we are seeking revival in the revival meeting, even now, Lord, prepare our hearts. Give us hearts that are soft and tender. Lord, let us be moldable and usable, all for Your glory. We need You in this hour as we seek revival. We need refreshed. And so, Lord, we ask that You would do a great work. Do something that only You can do in these few moments that we have, and also in the revival meeting that's upcoming. Bless now as we continue our study. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Number six, do I have aught against my brother? This has to do with offense, aught against my brother. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Do I have something against my brother? Verse 23 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Several weeks ago, we looked at this passage on a Sunday evening. And so if I'm not right with this other brother, he's trying to worship God, I'm trying to worship God, but if there's aught, if there's like anger, hostility, hatred, resentment, if I have a problem, if we have a problem with one another, even if it's just one way, I want to make sure that's right. Because we're going to try to worship God. Instead of worshiping God separately, now we can come together and worship God corporately and honor the Lord in our relationship. So do I have any aught against my brother? Jesus said, it would be better to give up whatever you're sacrificing, to set it down, to not even give it, and to do everything than to go and make that thing right with your brother. And then worship God, and then give your sacrifice, and then offer that to the Lord. Number seven, do I love the brethren? Hebrews chapter 13 is our next text. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Another short verse, just four words. Let brotherly love continue. Do I love the brethren? Do you love other believers in Christ? If I love my family members who love Jesus, do you love other church family, others that are here in the Wilton Baptist Church? Do I love the brethren? You know why we do the picnics and the linger-longers and the special fellowships? Well, it's because Pastor Harness wants to beat everyone at cornhole. And, you know, that's why we're having a picnic, is because, no, I do want to beat you at cornhole, but that's not the reason that we have a picnic. It's for fellowship, it's so that we can spend some time together, it's so that we can show love one to another, so that we can encourage one another. Why do we spend time before service talking and shaking hands and greeting in the hallways? And why do we do that following the services with linger longers and other things that are going on? And somebody mentioned recently how blessed that we were to have the back porch back here and the playground, and the kids are running and the parents are talking. And why do we have stuff like that? It's for fellowship. And it's so that we can love the brethren, so that we can show love to one another. Do I love the brethren? Number 8, do I gossip? Proverbs 11, verse 13. Go back to the Old Testament, if you would. Proverbs 11, 13. Do I gossip? A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. A man who is of a faithful spirit, his spirit, his guidance in life is of faithfulness with God and with his other brothers in Christ. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit, that's who we want to be, concealeth the matter. Well, don't tell anybody, but here's this. And just whisper something that's negative or wrong about somebody else. Watch out for that. I believe that when you say something positive about something, that's not the same thing as gossip. Like, hey, amen, this person was there. They were helping out, and thank God for them. You know, giving a praise or a testimony like that. But whispering evil things about one another, that's gossip. You know, nothing to do with this. And gossiping about it, watch out for that. Do I gossip? Number 9, am I easily offended? Go back to 1 Peter 2, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 20. 1 Peter 2:20. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. There's different responses that we can have when evil things happen to us. There's this hellish response, if you would, and when people do evil to us because we do good to them. That happens, doesn't it? I mean, that's just pure evil. Then there's a human response that we can respond with, and that's whenever someone does good to us, we do good back to them. I mean, any human can do that. There's a hellish response, the human response, but the heavenly response, that's the divine response, and that is that no matter what they do, it may be evil towards me, with God's help, I'll do good towards them. Am I easily offended? Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So are you easily offended? Number 10, am I guilty of the sin of stubbornness? Look over in 1 Samuel 15. The sin of stubbornness. I read about one man who thought that his clothes dryer was shrinking his clothes. And then he realized it was actually the refrigerator's fault. He finally identified the problem. How are you doing when it comes to the sin of stubbornness? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, notice verse 23. Samuel is speaking to Saul. Saul has been lifted up with pride, and he's chosen to do some things against what God has told him to do. Samuel said, verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, or sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God would rather us not give a sacrifice and merely be obedient to God. That's what he wants. Verse 23, for rebellion, that would be the disobedience, this rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Remember we talked about idols this morning? If there's any idol in your life, get that right with God. Anything that's more important than God could be an idol in your life. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So I know God wants me to do this, but I'm going to hold on to this sin. I know God wants me to think like this, but I'm going to keep thinking the wrong way. I know this is what God would have me stop doing or start doing, but I'm going to do whatever I want anyway. The sin of stubbornness. How are you doing with the sin of stubbornness? Now let's pause again and pray. Consider these questions. And we need a man to lead us in prayer at this time. Just examine your heart. Let's ask God for revival. Brother Adam, if you would, stand and ask the Lord to help us with this revival theme. Amen. Number 11. We just have a few left to go. How is my relationship to my mate, my children, parents, brothers, sisters, and employer? Look over in Ephesians 5. If you would find this text, a very popular passage when it comes to marriage and family themes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Both are valued the same. There's organizational structure that's very clear in this passage. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look over just a chapter over, chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. We'll go on to the rest of the family. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So I may not live in my parents' home where I would obey them living under their roof, but I can always, always, always respect and honor them. I'm glad I'm out of there, you know. No, you don't talk like that. You don't want to think like that. That's not honoring them. This is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and mother. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee. Notice that promise attached to it. That thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To provoke them. I'm prodding them. I'm trying to make them have a reaction, to cause a reaction, to provoke them. And sometimes that's actively, and sometimes that's passively, where men aren't who they should be, that they would provoke their children to wrath. But in contrast, bring them up in a nurture. Men should be nurturing their kids and the admonition of the Lord. Taking that lead, let's talk about spiritual things. Let's encourage you in the faith. Let's talk about what we heard in Sunday school and in church and what Bible passage we're reading together as a family. Notice then, how about the workplace? Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Well, I'm going to be really, I'm working because the boss is here. He's going to come around the corner anytime. And now that he's gone, easy street now, you know, we're going to take it easy. We're serving God, not men. We need to have a good work ethic, and how are you doing with that? Not with eye service, but doing the will of God, notice, from the heart. With good will, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, then the owners of the business, ye masters, do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening. You ever been around somebody and the way that they lead is with threats and trying to control things? Well, I'll do this or I'll do that if you don't do this or whatever. That's not how the leader is supposed to do that. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. So how are your relationships with other people? Self-examine for a moment. Number 12, do I ever go on visitation? James chapter 1, Look at this passage. There's a woman just living on Wilton Cansford Road. She moved here about 2 years ago. Her husband said, I want to live close to a friend of mine from the Army or something who lived up here. So they moved up here, and then the friend died. And then just a short time later, the husband died, and she had a stroke about 2 weeks ago. She's by herself. She has nobody up here. A brother who lives in West Virginia called and said, I'm a Christian. I go to such and such Baptist church, and I looked you up because I was hoping that you could minister to my sister. She's not saved. She had a stroke. She needs someone to check on her once in a while. People are bringing food by four, Meals on Wheels. There's health home care people coming in, but she can't even go out to the mailbox. And if somebody could do something like that, and he said, really, I would like to see her trust Christ. Five brothers in West Virginia, and she's up here all alone. That would be a good visitation to make. That'd be a good visit for some of us to do. Pure religion, in verse 27, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows. There it is. That's who this person is in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion, undefiled before God. Maybe you want to talk or go see this woman, try to encourage her. I'll give you the address, give her your name. I'm going to go see her again this week. So do I ever go on visitation? We could include this, encouraging some of the saints. Maybe they hadn't been in church for a while. Maybe they're sick or something. You could maybe give a meal or write a note of encouragement. We do door-to-door and soul winning and try to witness, and sometimes that would be included in visitation as well. Number 13, am I really what people see? Notice what God says about David. Go back to 1 Samuel 16, if you would, please. 1 Samuel 16. And verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. What does God see in your heart? We can put on pretenses and put on airs about, you know, how spiritual I am or how faithful I am or what I do for God. And we could be like that, but what's your heart really like? What do you like on the inside? What does God see when he looks at your life? Self-examine about that. Am I really what people see? Or is it just an outward show? You can get the idea from what we're looking at. God's more interested in on the inside, your heart. Next in, am I concerned about souls? Look in 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If I could help this person, and I have the means to, why wouldn't I? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Yeah, I want to see people saved. I want to share concern. I want to say I'm concerned about people, then it would be more evident, more in not just what we say, but what we do. In encouraging someone, giving a tract to someone, in inviting someone to come to church or to sit with you in a revival meeting, sometimes people come into this church and they don't have a friend in the world. And you could reach out to them. You could encourage them by a simple smile and a handshake and say, hey, is it your first time or third time you sit by yourself? Why don't you sit here beside me? Tell me, what are you into? What's your life like? Where do you work? Where do you live? People need that. Am I concerned about souls? And there are some people that come in and they don't have a friend in the world, you could say, and have not yet trusted Christ. And they're searching. They want to know. God can use you in that way. Am I concerned about souls? Number 15, am I willing to inconvenience myself for others? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 41. Matthew 5, 41. Jesus is teaching this passage on the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll be coming to it soon. This particular passage, verse 41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. well, wait a minute, I was going to stop at mile one. I mean, that wasn't an inconvenience. I was already going to go that 1 mile. Now you're saying to go another mile? That would inconvenience me. That's the whole point that Christ is saying. Go the extra mile. Give the extra effort. Am I willing to inconvenience myself for the benefit of other people? We'll dive into that more in the coming weeks, Lord willing. And number 16, our last question tonight, as we're self-examining, look in James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. An evangelist comes to town, preacher. He's going to open up the Bible. He'll give some stories and illustrations. He'll give some very pointed application. He'll read the scriptures. He'll expound upon it. He'll share with us what it means and what it should mean in our life today. Am I willing to ask the Lord, Lord, would you speak to me through the evangelist? When the Bible's opened and the message is given, Lord, would you help me to be responsive to your word? Am I willing to do what he says? I'm not talking about the evangelist, it's capitalized, talking about God. What you say in the Bible, am I willing? Sometimes I ask people, are you at least willing to talk about this subject? Maybe a subject that they're like, no, I'm not going to give that up, or I'm not going to change. Would you at least let me talk with you about it from the Bible? And would you consider this is God's word? And you kind of go from that perspective. This is the Bible. And when it says something, we should want to live it and to respond to it, to be obedient to it. It was about 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, the first time I heard evangelist David Young bring a message. And I responded in that invitation, and I walked forward and got some things right with God. And I encourage you that as he's coming here to Wilton Baptist Church, he's going to open up the Bible, this book that's in your hands. Go ahead and be willing to respond. If God prompts you, you can come to the front and kneel. You can confess a sin. You can say, Lord, help me with this. You could pray for other people, your children, your family. You could pray for our church. You can ask for revival. Don't be afraid to respond to that. Just do it. Just do it. Get those things right with God. Am I willing, when I'm confronted with the Bible, to do what God says? Are you willing to do so with that tonight? Let's bow for a moment of prayer. I'm going to ask Josh Jacquard to lead us in prayer. You answer these questions for yourself. That's the end of our message. And I believe we can have prepared hearts. Prepare your heart to serve God and to hear the word of God as the revival meeting comes. If you would stand and lead us in prayer.